everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. Tom, got a quiz for you. It's weather related. Do you know what today is? Today is an anniversary of a big weather event in Tucson. Do you happen to remember?
Are we talking about, what was it,
2011.
Or 2011.
No, it was 2011.
When we had several days
Try this, Tom. 18 degrees, one of the coldest days ever recorded here in Tucson. But
was on a February 4th in 2011?
Yes, sir. Now, normally in Tucson, you know, it warms up at least 10 degrees, 15 degrees. The high
during the afternoon, sometimes.
The high that day was in the upper 20s.
And that was the time that did my lemon tree in.
Well, it did in some really, really beautiful, serious cactus on our property. And actually, some of the giant saguaros went down, too. I mean, you get below 25 degrees, and it starts to be kind of iffy. But 2025 can be kind of iffy for the cactus.
But
and
to stay below freezing.
Below freezing.
24 hours
or
longer in Arizona.
Yeah, I don't want to see that again being a kind of a gardening aficionado. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday, the 4th of February, 2022. Our radio station is 1030 Tucson's trusted source for news talk. It's KVOI, The Voice. We are launching now into year 12 on the radio show and my 34th year on television and radio here in Tucson. You can hear all of our programs with a live stream and all the podcasts, pretty much every show we've done on the radio, going back to the first week of January 2011 at buckmastershow.com. Our thanks to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. They are our supporting sponsor for our live line guests. Our media partners, we like to do a shout out on Friday, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, Dan Scheer and his team at the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group, their portfolio of publications, Jim Ninsel at the Tucson Weekly. They have Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. We want to welcome a new reporter to our roundtable. It's good to see Mary Glenn Hatcher. Mary is a reporter and has been for about a year with the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. She's from North Carolina, and we are delighted to have you here in Tucson, Mary Glenn.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
How do you like this cold weather?
Well, I prefer the warmer weather.
I bet. Me too. And so does Jan Lesher. I know Jan. Jan and I have known each other for probably 30 years. And Jan, I know you remember very well that day in 2011.
When you said the date, it took me a minute
all
to focus.
All the pipes that were frozen.
We activated the Emergency Operations Center at Pima County. And you're right, pipes were frozen and we had about 14,000 people without any kind of utilities. And so we were you learn a lot about how you get medication and basic supplies to people who are in a predicament that we don't always plan for here in Southern Arizona.
Jan Lesher is the acting Pima County Administrator. She took over when the horrible accident that Mr. Huckleberry sustained back in October. I think it was, October 23rd?
23rd.
That horrible accident in downtown Tucson. Not Mr. Huckleberry's fault in any way. He's an avid bicyclist. He was at an intersection, and it was kind of a ricochet situation with two cars, but it's been a difficult situation and a rehab. How is he doing, Jan?
Well, Bill, I'm pleased to report I had a chance to speak with Chuck just yesterday, and he's at home. He's out of the hospital and out of the rehab and is now at home and getting better and stronger every day.
Well, I know that he probably is just saying, I just got to get back at it. Knowing Chuck Huckleberry.
I can't imagine. Chuck didn't go home for weekends, so I can't.
No,
I think he's clawing at the door, I think.
No, he was not the retiring type
not
either.
Not so much.
Let's talk a little bit about COVID.
Sure.
We hit 3,000 cases per day about 3 weeks ago. We had a weekend there that was really bad. That was kind of the peak. I just checked, Jan, and we can't seem to get really any sustained traction below 1,000 cases a day. We're at, I think, over 1,100 today.
We are, Bill, and you're right. It just, I think this Omicron variant is what's causing so much of our problems, but the numbers continue to go up, and I think it's difficult for all of us to think about the fact that we're about 2 years into this, that in March of 2020, we declared the emergency. I actually was looking at some documents the other day. It was in April and May of 2020 where we began to convene a group called Pima County Back to Business with letters saying, now that we are seeing the end of the COVID pandemic in sight, and as we approach almost 2 years, clearly not so much. But it continues to be a struggle and a challenge. If there is a good side to it, I guess, or the good news, the Omicron variant is not nearly as lethal to folks. You sure don't feel well, but it's we're keeping people out of the hospital to some extent and out of ICUs, which is great news, and off ventilators. And that's, as you all know as well, we have Pima County is the, we're doing the best of any other county in the state in terms of getting people vaccinated, getting people boosted. That helps a lot with the transmission, but people, you can still be fully vaccinated and get hit with the Omicron variant, but you're not going to get as sick, and you have the less likelihood, we hope, of passing it on to other people. So lots of challenges that we face every day, as every business does. What does it mean? Do you shut down? Do you open? Do you wear masks? Do you not? How do you keep your employees and your public safe while you're still allowing commerce and the things we need to do continue?
Let's bring in Mary Glenn Hatcher from Green Valley News. Go ahead, Mary Glenn.
Yeah. So you made good points about Omicron. I'm curious, you know, as we're starting to see some cases drop locally, I'm curious whether you feel it's time to start thinking about and responding to COVID in a new way and maybe looking at what it's going to look like when we get to a point where COVID doesn't dramatically alter our daily lives.
Mary, you were so right in that it's time. What I look at is that, what's that next phase? And the reality is we've been dealing, I think, with COVID as almost an emergency and responding to the emergent situation of COVID. It's almost past being an emergency and just something we are going to be living with. As we talk about all of us growing up, Bill and I are as the contemporaries of, as we went back to school, we got our shots regularly, you know, to go to summer camp or to go back to first grade. And we had the diphtheria and polio and normal vaccinations you got. But we then went on about life. And I think that's what you're going to start seeing is moving out of the emergent and just knowing it's going to be with us. And this is how we need to respond and work with people. I think that what we continue to do at the county is see how do we get fewer people in some of the offices. So do we alternate? When can people work remotely if their job can accommodate that? How do we space people out? It's the new norm, and I think it's going to be with us a long time.
Do you have the numbers now on the employees that are vaccinated? So what is your percentage of employees who have at least two shots?
I was going to say almost 90. We're about 89% of all county employees are fully vaccinated, which is great good news. We have over a dozen departments that are 100% vaccinated. We just have a couple little pockets of people who have not been vaccinated. And as I think people are aware, we had a period of time where what the county did was regulate that not every county employee is required to be vaccinated, but those who work with what we comment on are vulnerable populations, those individuals needed to be vaccinated. So if you're working with people in the jail, as an example, there is a requirement that you be vaccinated because the person in the jail doesn't have a choice necessarily of stepping away or distancing or wearing a mask. So we've come through that pretty well. We did have people that we accommodated by moving into other positions where they might not be directly affected. We might have that same kind of input or impact on someone in the public. And we've ended up, I believe the last numbers are about 19 people out of a workforce of about 7,100 for whom we were not able to find those accommodations. So I think we continue to strive to not only keep everybody employed and at their desks, but to keep the public and their workforce safe.
The sheriff was on the program, our Friday Focus interview, Sheriff Nanos, last week, and he admitted it has been a challenge, but he's been able to put put enough people, he feels confident, in the jail, because they did lose some people that for whatever reason decided not to stay on. They didn't want the COVID shot. He did say on the air with us that he will be approaching the board, because believe it, I'm sure you believe it, but it's hard to believe that budget time is just around the corner. The sheriff is going to be coming to you and the board for an increase because he needs more money to do recruiting. So those budget hearings are like a month or two away.
They will start in May. That's right. And so the budgets are actually, our budget cycle is January. This is the time we start, the leadership team meets once a week to start crafting that budget. What's it going to look like? What are we going to recommend to the Board of Supervisors? And actually, I think we are in the same boat as I'm sure you are in every employer in this community, that there has been a real change in the workforce and in where people want to work and how they want to work and what that looks like. So we're all looking at it. I look at, what is that compensation package? It's not just the amount we pay. But there's a whole new world out there of how people choose to work, flex schedules and job sharing and telecommuting and things are all part of a new portfolio that we have to evaluate. Obviously, we need to, we serve the public and we are paid by taxpayers. So we've got to make sure that the lights are on and that we are providing any service people need. But how they go about doing that is the challenge.
Let's go to our live line. Sure. Wayne has called and he is... His question is on topic right now about COVID. Go ahead, Wayne. You're with Jan Lesher, Pima County, Acting Pima County Administrator.
Oh, thank you so much for being on the radio here this afternoon. My question is, there seems to be a lack of information regarding therapeutics for COVID. The health department really doesn't talk about it. Really, the only, it's a single issue story, and that is... maybe two issue, locking down and vaccinations. And, you know, the vaccination right now really doesn't work like any vaccination that I ever saw. Like polio, people don't come down with polio after getting vaccinated, nor measles or mumps or rubella. And yet with this vaccination or so-called vaccination, people still get sick and they still spread the virus. And, you know, combined with that and no therapeutics, it seems to me that we're really, you know, leaving a lot behind as far as what we can do to make this issue less dangerous.
And before I throw it over to Jan, you can still get, certainly, Wayne, as you know, you can still get COVID even if you're fully vaxxed. But the good news is that 90-some percent of those people who are fully vaxxed, it will keep you out of the hospital.
That's absolutely true, Bill. You're right. That it's, as someone, I will tell you, who is fully vaccinated and boosted and had COVID after going through that, that I sure didn't feel real good, but I was at home, I was not on a ventilator, and I was not hospitalized. So there's an advantage to that. But I think to Wayne's point, he's right that we've been developing this vaccine at the same time we're dealing with new strains, and that's what viruses do. You know, they will continue to morph and to change so that they will live. And that's what we're seeing with the variants, and it's been very difficult to respond to all the variants within the current vaccine. There has been treatments, if you will, and I think MAB is what I know it as. It's one of those words that's about 300 letters long. That the
basically you're talking about therapeutics.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's what Wayne.
Right,
it's a good point.
And we are. We have been trying that. We set up a couple of clinics along with some hospital partners. We were providing maybe 100 a day, and then what began to happen is that the treatment that was available that we were providing, actually we had the help of the Federal Emergency Management Agency was here to assist with providing those treatments. It is not nearly as effective on the new variants. And so with the uptick of people becoming ill with the Omicron variant and the fact that the treatments that with which we were most familiar and utilizing do not have the same kind of efficacy with the Omicron, we've stopped providing those services. And actually, if you saw recently, we just set up some new testing and vaccine clinics with the help of FEMA. It's because we used our FEMA partners and the federal partners who were here and repurposed them into the vaccine and testing because the MAB treatments simply weren't as effective with the current new strains.
All right, let's pause right here. Mary Glenn Hatcher is with us from the Green Valley News, Jan Lesher, acting Pima County Administrator. But Mary Glenn and Jan, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery. Jan, I think we could all use a little comfort food right now.
What better than Mona's? Let's go.
Mona's Danish Bakery is home to the Danish Kringle. That's that very light and flaky pastry that comes in a wide variety of flavors. And I like also the Danish coffee cake, which is kind of the cousin of the Kringle. But right now I could probably go for a chocolate croissant. Mary Glenn, do you like bakery goods?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What normally do you like? Do you go the croissant? Do you like a Danish?
I like a croissant, yeah.
You like
a nice
croissant?
Buttery croissant, yeah.
Just plain, no filling?
I'll take filling. Almond, okay. I like an almond croissant.
Oh, that sounds very good. And Steve and the team up at Mona's can do that very easily. They always have, they feature the croissant. I know they have almond pretty much every day. And people are actually there waiting for Mona's to open for breakfast at 6:30 in the morning. They're open Sunday. Let's see, they're open now. They are taking Mondays off, so it's Tuesday through Sunday, and you'll probably, if you're up there Sunday morning, you'll probably find me up there. Ann and I love to go by Mona's on Sunday. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Again, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Now they, if you were wondering about any of the menu items, beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu at the website, Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Back with Mary Glenn and Jan right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Acting Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher. Mary Glenn Hatcher is with us. Mary Glenn's been reporting for the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun for the past year or so. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. Now that the freeze is over, good time to go buy green things this weekend and start thinking about spring. I hope so. I'm actually ready now for some warm weather after, you know, you stay in Tucson long enough, you'll start thinking, you know, this is really too cold for me. All right, Mary Glenn, you're up to the plate.
Okay. Well, speaking of warm weather, I want to touch on tourism. Back in Pima County on Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors awarded $1 million in federal funding to assist tourism and hospitality industries as they continue to recover from the pandemic. From your perspective, Jan, I'm wondering how you see tourism bouncing back here after COVID.
Mayor, we're thrilled. The numbers are really coming back up, which is wonderful. And where we are located, as an example, the county administration now works in the historic courthouse, and we are housed with Visit Tucson. They rent part of the building. We're on the other end. So what we do with Visit Tucson is critical. Obviously, tourism is such a vital part of this community, and I'm so pleased to see people coming back and how critical that is for our hoteliers and the restaurants and all of this community that relies so heavily economically on that business. Last night, I'll just mention, it was the grand opening of the Alfie Norville Gem and Mineral Museum, which was perfect timing with the Gem and Mineral Show. But what we've seen in the Southern Arizona Historic Visitor Center, because it also has not only our own lots of stories about Southern Arizona, but a gift shop, mandatory if you're going to have a museum, right? But it's for those individuals who might know where the Gem and Mineral Museum was at the U of A, and I think of that as sort of core to some of our tourism, Mary, it's found a new home in the courthouse. And as we said last night, oh my goodness, what a home it is. It is extraordinary. And my little just anecdote about that is a family member who doesn't think we do much right. and I was always concerned about what locals will do, and came down and spent a little bit of time looking at the Gem and Mineral Museum and the courthouse, and didn't want to like it, and came back and told me that it was on par of anything he's seen anywhere in the world.
Really?
And it truly is extraordinary. What's wonderful for those of us who work there, you're in the office on the weekends and you step out and there are people milling around. You know, we're working in an active museum. Mm-hmm. To see the thriving economic engine that's now downtown, to see what's happening with the courthouse and the restaurants and all of that. And that's what, with the funding that you see, while we had some federal dollars, we also have to allocate through our annual process to Visit Tucson part of the bed tax. And it's pro forma, but they get a percent of the bed tax. And the numbers are really coming back up strongly, as you can see, with another $1 million. We see Visit Tucson as a critical and strong partner. Sharon Bronson, who's the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, serves on the Visit Tucson board to make sure we have that kind of articulation of services. And it is so vital, and it's so exciting to see it reopening.
Well, what are you hearing about the Gem Show? Last year, of course, it was on pretty much hold. There were a few little shows, but kind of the granddaddy of the show at the Tucson Convention Center, it is going forward.
It absolutely is. And we have shows happening around the community for people who know. There's some on Irvington and in different locations.
Yeah.
We have had a very strong partnership between the organizers of the show and the Pima County Health Department. Mm-hmm. And one of the sites downtown, for example, is offering testing and vaccine with a vendor right outside the door.
Really?
Absolutely. And so the protocols, the masking, the distancing, have all been adhered to, and it's clear that the folks who travel the country with these kinds of shows have learned a great new way of doing this, and that they have testing, they have all of that embedded in the shows. So we are seeing probably not back to the full capacity in the numbers that we were before COVID. For all of us, those, you can remember all the little shows up and down the frontage rows and such. Not as many of those, but the bigger vendors are back, and we're getting, anecdotally at least at this point, great information. I don't have any kind of after show numbers yet, which we will have, but we're thrilled with what we're seeing.
And the rodeo goes on.
The rodeo will go on, and we're starting to see. I believe, understand the Festival of Books, for example, coming back on the U of A campus.
That's huge.
Huge. And just what a wonderful event, too.
So that was basically 2 years they had to go.
Two years.
I mean, 2 years without live in-person. They were on online, which, you know, everybody had to adapt. They had to kind of go Zoom, but this is kind of back.
It's back. And when you think about those dates, as you know from your all up and down the university campus and all the books and all the people, I think it's so good to see everybody doing with that hope that we all want, which is that we get back to get into the community gatherings again together. And we're starting to see those happen. And as you know, they all look a little different. They're not as there's a lot of space between exhibitors now, and a lot of hand sanitizer and masks and ways to make sure that we get to do the things we love to do, but keep everyone safe.
You know, we talked a little bit about budget hearings. We'll be, you know, I know you're already working on the budget for the fiscal year that will begin July 1st. Let's go back and take a look at the past 2 years. What does your funding picture look like in Pima County, and what would it look like if you hadn't had the infusion of federal dollars from Washington related to COVID?
Bill, I can't imagine where we'd be without that money, and I say that because we right now have, I was looking at numbers the other day, with just one of our testing vendors, they have billed over $60 million in testing.
What?
Yeah, it's not cheap. And so when you look at vaccination, as the public health entity for the county, we've been responsible for all of the, you know, the testing, a lot of the vaccination, public education. It's not insignificant. So while people have talked about the $100 million received or something, for us, the vast majority of that money was spent directly on the public health response in testing and vaccination. We have had some of those dollars have been used to help stimulate. Mary, as you pointed out, we give some through our partners to assist with some of the, you know, the events, the tourism activities, the stuff going on in our community where people needed a little help with that early on. For example, we worked with a Downtown Tucson partnership or some of the local 4th Avenue. How do we help them get the money they need in grants to find a new way to do business, to have outdoor cafes or to expand onto sidewalks? So money went into that. So I say that in that one-time money, most of the one-time money we received was used for one-time efforts. I think what is always a frightening event is when government receives one-time money and decides to do things with it that will continue budget to budget. Because how our need to respond to the pandemic, that's where our dollars have really focused. So I see there will be some more of that. The next tranche of money we see coming from the federal government is in the infrastructure jobs arena.
But not necessarily health care. And that will be reflected in the new budget,
right? That's right.
You know, I was looking at 3 out of 4 of the people in Pima County have had at least 2 vaccinations. But there was a cost for that.
A great cost. And I know that at one point we were looking at $100 million, as I say, in taxing and testing and vaccine. And so the good news is that the federal dollars decrease for that effort. So will the need in the community.
All right. Mary Glenn, we haven't talked about a couple of really important issues that really have affected kind of the spirit of regionalism, water and transportation.
Yeah, I wanted to ask on the topic of transportation about RTA. I know the city had some concerns, the city of Tucson, about the next phase. I'm wondering if you can walk us through what some of those concerns were, because this week they voted to stay in. So walk us through some of the concerns that the city had and how they're being addressed now.
Mary, I think there's 2 parts of that. There's direct funding of programs, and then there's the governance issues. And I think the motion that you see passed by PAG RTA that allowed then the city to feel comfortable staying in indicated that the city would have additional representation in the Citizens Advisory Committee. They would have additional representation in the Technical Management Committee that makes some of those recommendations as well. And that was an important step for the city voters to believe that they were being listened to and that they, if they're the majority of the population, did they have additional representation on those committees. There was also an agreement by the PAG board to, in the future, look at new proposals that may occur regarding how the voting structure, you know, could take place on the overall governance, but the committee structure is what changed initially. Another piece is that when you look at the original RTA package, projects, the city made a determination and the region decided that what made sense was to take the streetcar, move that really towards the front of a line of funding, which then meant that the city's, a couple of the city's major projects were funded at the end or at the back end.
And
as we all know, what's happening to the cost of things.
Yeah.
So what they've now been able to do is it's get an agreement that if RTA next passes, the next half-cent sales tax regionally, that the city will be able to get the remaining need, get their projects finished with that funding. And then they will get additional funding from RTA next, should it be successful. So I think it helped everybody refocus on what's a region, what does it mean, what's the give and take to bring everybody to the table in one cooperative message. And I believe that then, obviously, it was unanimous vote, so all of our jurisdictions and partners approved of the new plan.
So that's very important for the regional transportation. As far as water, the city has taken legal action against the city of Tucson over the water rates for some of us, like myself, who live in the unincorporated areas.
Yes.
Is that moving forward, the legal action?
It is. As you point out, the county is suing the city over the differential water rates. Where that is right now is these processes take some time. There was a motion by the city to move the case out of Pima County, and that's what's occurred. It will be heard in Maricopa County, and we're waiting for a judge to be assigned, and then the motions and the process will begin in fury.
Well, you've been around this town, as I have, a long time, and you've seen these ebbs and flows in regionalism. I think we talk a lot about regionalism, don't we, Jan? But it's sometimes very hard to implement it. But there are regional projects that go on all the time between the city and county. I guess health might be a good
one. Health is a great example, and I'll tell you, leadership of the staff side, Michael Ortega and his management team, and us on the county side, we meet monthly. And the things about which we agree.
You don't sit around and throw things at each other.
Well,
do
we
you?
Do now and then, but we meet regularly, and we're trying to find where can we find common ground? Two issues right now: how do we develop broadband as a community? You know, in the region, well, everybody's getting money for it. No need for a home to have five providers and others have none. So how do we work with the private sector, the city and the county together? Another thing we've been really looking at is how do we work together for human resources purposes and employment? Could we ever find a way in which a person wanted a job, say, in a finance department, depending upon their skill level, maybe they would go to the city or the county, but be able to move amongst in between? Or just how do we make sure that we don't want to poach from each other? How are we complementing each other, and how are we providing the people in our community who want a job a greater opportunity to expand in their career without leaving one entity or the other? Said it's the city and the county to me are a little bit like, so we're ASU and U of A. You know, we need to be really good friends and cooperate, and a couple times a year we'll have a football game or a basketball game and we'll fight. But other than that, we do a lot better together.
You know, Mary Glenn, I'm looking at one of your stories here, a recent story, possible changes ahead for in-person voting in Pima County. I wonder if Jan Lesher may have a comment on that.
With our Board of Supervisors?
I'll give you a little bit of... it's some proposals from the Pima County Recorder's office on getting some, I think, electronic voter machines and the e-poll books.
Sure.
And there's been conversations around that. I know the Elections Integrity Committee is still mulling some of the details. But yeah, it would save the county, you know, I think a couple $100,000 a year. So, you know, if you have any comments on that.
Sure. There's two kind of issues issues I think that are coming up that the board will be looking at soon. One deals with voting centers, and one deals with the e-poll books, as you're mentioning. The e-poll book is an opportunity for a person to come in and really get a ballot on demand. Part of the background for that, and where the hope is, that you don't end up, obviously, with hundreds of thousands of ballots printed somewhere that who knows what could happen. But you can get just, if you, when you get ready to vote, you'll get an electronic ballot. There will be a hard copy, but you can just, for you, ballot on demand, vote it, and move on. So we're hoping that also does a lot to decrease provisional ballots. These days, with the uptick in early voting, the days of having elections resolved on election day, you know, maybe ending because there's so many provisional ballots. It ends that. So those e-poll books save money, and I think in the long run help with integrity and the lack of human error in some ways. Another area, so the board will be looking at that starting on their next meeting on February 15th. Another issue is what they're calling voting centers, and what that does is eliminate some of the previously, we all know about going to a polling place or having your precinct polling place. Voting centers, while there might be still 200 in a community or something, would allow you as an individual to vote wherever you wanted to go in and vote in a center. No, just because you're in the wrong precinct didn't mean you can't vote there. It really is just finding a lot of places for people to come vote, not necessarily just that one location. So those are both areas that will be brought forward by the recorder. Our elections department will be involved in the board. We'll be making decisions starting with their board meeting on February 15th for those who would like to contact their board member.
All right, I'm just about out of time. Jan Lesher, should I be budgeting a little bit more every month for my property taxes? I always like to set a few dollars aside so I don't get a big shock when they come out. They didn't really go up that much last year, at least up in my area. District 1 is...
They didn't actually. The actual voting rate has either stayed the same or gone down the amount. But what happens is the assessed valuation of the property goes up,
of
and
course.
So you may see a little bump there.
Yeah.
We have not raised taxes in years, and I can't imagine we'll be doing it again.
We'll end on that happy note.
Okay.
All right, Jan Lesher, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Mary.
Best of luck to you, Mary. Stick around, Mary Glenn Hatcher sticks around. We'll talk with Mary Glenn a little bit about what's coming up this weekend in the Green Valley News right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. In the turn my microphone around so I can hear myself a little clearer. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our thanks to Jan Lesher, Acting Pima County Administrator, talking about bringing us up to date on all of the COVID-related news. And with me in studio, and we want to also thank Mary Glenn Hatcher of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun for coming up and joining us in the interview. And Mary Glenn actually has been in town about a year, came really at the height of the pandemic, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And even when you were looking for a place to live, it was kind of challenging.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Arizona was definitely high transmission when I moved out here. So that was interesting.
But you've had pretty good time so far.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah.
Great experience for you, really covering Southern Arizona. And one big story that's coming up in the Green Valley News has to do with, I think people would be surprised how often they are overcharged at a store. Might be a good idea to take a look at a receipt.
Yeah. Our reporter, Jamie Verwise with the Green Valley News, is actually doing a story on that about how many times, you know, you get overcharged at stores. She's talking to the Department of Weights and Measures, and that they investigate claims of overcharging. And so that'll be a story in our Sunday edition of the Green Valley News.
Big event coming up down in your area. The Tubac Festival is coming up.
Yeah, the Tubac Festival of the Arts is going to run from February 9th through the 13th. That's next Wednesday through Sunday. It's a national level arts festival. They showcase artists from around the U.S. and Canada, as well as some local Tubac artists. Mm-hmm. Last year it was canceled because of COVID, so this is the first time it's back after that. And there are actually no vacant spots this year. They're all filled up. Good. So we know people are eager to get back there. And it's all outdoors. So if you're wanting to go and you're trying to be a little COVID conscious, it's all outside this year. So.
What have been some of your impressions? This is really coming out from North Carolina to Arizona. It's a big change. You were at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. So in some ways, you know, this area revolves around the University of Arizona. There were some similarities there. But how has the experience been for you this year of covering not only Green Valley, but you guys get up to Tucson, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really interesting. I think the geography is quite shockingly different than North Carolina,
yes.
And I think that's present in a lot of what I do. The weather has been something to get used to with the desert climate, but I think one of the best things I was able to see was the monsoon this past summer. Before I came, people were telling me that it was going to be really hot because of the summer of 2020.
Yeah.
And we just had such dramatic rainfall and the desert just greened up. I think that was really cool to see and to cover and to talk to some meteorologists about what's happening. I think that's been really interesting. It's so different from weather on the East Coast.
Yeah,
so.
You came for a monsoon, a summer rainy season of historic proportion. It was, I think it was one of the wettest rainy seasons we'd had. But if you had come even a year earlier, it would have been the driest, driest summer rainy season. So that's kind of what it's like living in the desert, either feast or famine. How about the multiculturalism? People have lived here around the Santa Cruz River for like thousands of years. Some archaeologists, Mary Glenn, say it's the longest continuously a habitat area in the United States. So, I mean, that multicultural area is an interesting piece, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's, again, very different from where I'm from. It's been really cool to see, I think, the architecture that's still around here from those times. And, yeah, the history of the place. Pretty much every area has, I'm thinking about historic Canoa Ranch, which Green Valley is very close to. And it's just amazing to read about the several generations that have lived there and transformed the property over time. And that's been really fascinating to learn about. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will look for your work in the Green Valley News and Sahara Rita Sun, Mary Glenn Hatcher, reporter. Thank you for joining us. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
All right, we'll take a pause right here. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell from Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly as we continue on the Buckmaster Show on a Friday afternoon.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
I hear that, and it's time for the weekend, man. Maybe a road trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our sponsor of Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Silver City in Grant County, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. I strongly suggest checking out their website, and all you have to do is type in southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll see all sorts of great ideas, hiking, outdoor recreation, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and also some ideas on some great places to stay. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and hosted by longtime award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie. In fact, he is Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how's your week gone?
Oh, the week has gone great, and you know, I love that Bob Marley soundtrack because I just want to mix up a rum cocktail and head out to the pool, but I might be a little cold now if I do that, but I might give it a little try.
Yeah, the little bit of ice on the bird bath this morning up at the Buckmaster House. One of the wonderful things about Weekend Watch is we learn about all sorts of eateries around our area. I understand something going on in Five Points.
Yeah, you know, there's a fun event planned today and tomorrow for people who may want a little global adventure with their next pizza. So Five Points Restaurant over there on South Stone Avenue, they're going to be hosting an Indian pizza pop-up featuring pizzas inspired by authentic Indian cuisine. Here's what they're talking about. They've got a Sag Paneer pizza with cardamom and cinnamon and cloves. They're making aloo methi versions with tandoori masala. There's a lamb masala pizza. You'll also enjoy some regional desserts, wine, and music, making this pop-up authentically India. It's today and tomorrow at Five Points Restaurant.
One of the staples of Weekend Watch through the years have been our breweries.
I'll drink to that, Bill. You know, Harbottle Brewing Company is going to be celebrating their fourth anniversary tomorrow from noon to 6 at their Palo Verde Road Brewery. And they're inviting 8 local brewers to go in a head-to-head competition to see who makes the best brew. And if you attend the anniversary event, you're going to be judge and jury in a blind taste test. That's right. It's all up to us to see who wins. You just take a few sips, cast your vote, and see who the winner is. $30 gets you a ticket for all the samples, as well as a pint of your favorite beer in a custom glass you can keep. I think our local brewers are some of the best in the U.S., and here's a chance for you to enjoy some pretty spectacular sights.
I always love to hear about restaurant expansions. To me, that means business is good. What's going on in that arena?
Well, business is great for Locale Neighborhood Italian. You know, they opened up this restaurant a bit ago over there on Alvernon near Broadway, and the owners have just finished an expansion project that's been in the works for a while. On the south side of the building, you will now see Locale Cafe, which brings the Locale experience to breakfast and brunch on Tuesdays through Sundays from 8 to 11 a.m. Open wide for some breakfast sandwiches, panini, frittatas, all the morning staples, of course, with mimosas and sangria, some baked brioche and croissants. Locale Cafe, I think, seems like a great way to start your days this weekend.
I'll tell you, I'm ready for lunch right now. Matt Russell, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, my friend.
All righty then. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, known as BBC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan, a fine young man that I met several years ago on vacation. He's from Germany, and he provided us with some original music. Thanks to assistant Rosemary Brandt, everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. Have a great weekend, everybody.